Slowly building up some more calluses, so it's good to be in the house of the Lord with you tonight. It's good to see each one of you here. It's good to have my grandson with us again, Evan. He's staying the week with us. I don't know if, which one of us is going to survive. We want to go ahead and open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, we'll start reading at verse 24. This is the parable of the tares and the wheat. We'll read 14 through 30 and then 36 through 43. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared tares also. So the servants of the householders came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say unto the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitudes away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said to them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. What about serpent seed? The children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, more than one, and they shall gather together out of his kingdom all things that offend. Notice that, gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And remember, Brother Branham told us that that was tribulation. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then I want to read St. John chapter 12, verse 24. Very familiar scriptures to all of us who are students of the message. And even if you're not a student of the message, if you read your Bible. Verily, verily, I say to you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Let's just pray. Lord, how blessed it is to be able to read your word, Lord, and to look upon these things, and Lord, that you have just down through the ages and made sure that we have sufficient word to lead us and guide us. And Lord, you've not left us without a testimony. Your Holy Spirit's here just to give us unction and to quicken these things to us. We're so thankful, Lord, that you have come and kept your promises to lead us and guide us, even to this late hour. We pray, Lord, that you touch every heart tonight as we get into the ministry of the word. We pray, God, that you would just anoint everything that's said and done. May it be a glory to you.
We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
And you may be seated. Tonight I'm just going to call this harvest time. I don't know if Brother Daniel has trouble like I do, but sometimes I have a hard time picking out a title because I may have 10 different titles that fit, and I'm not sure which one. And sometimes you think, well, I'll just wait and see how the Holy Spirit, what part he quickens and makes most alive, and that's what we'll do. And so, but anyway, may the Lord bless you tonight, bless the reading of his word. St. John chapter 12, verse 24, there's a concept there when he said that, you know, that except you, a corn of wheat is talking about a plant, a seed. Unless that corn of wheat, when you've got to plant it and it's got to die, and if it doesn't die, if you don't plant it and it doesn't die, then it's going to abide by itself, just that one little corn of wheat or that grain. But if it plants it and it dies and rots away in the soil, then it can come forth. And so the concept there, just in sowing and reaping, is you can take one grain and plant it in the right condition, and it'll bring forth a multitude just like it.
Amen.
And if you know, and I know this, you know, I guess maybe because you don't hear people talk about this so much, then you kind of venture out carefully as you say this. But you know, when you take that seed and you plant it and you come out with a multitude, all of those multitudes are genetically, they are absolutely identical to what was planted. They're the same family, the same gene, the same, and you could take every one of those grains and you could do the same thing with them. You could plant every one of them and each one bring out a multitude of its own. And so, now we think about that because the Bible is written in terminologies that just simple people can understand. That's why when this modern generation gets more and more scientific, they get further and further away from the Word of God because they make it complicated. It's not. It's simple. God created things, and we you know, nature tells the gospel. And so, as we see in the parable there, God sowing his seed, sowing the children of the kingdom into this earth. You know, God put us here as his family for a reason. And so we know that. And so this concept of him planting and there being a dying, but yet coming forth in a great multitude. I can plant one tomato seed, and that plant will come up and bring out many, many tomatoes. And inside of those tomatoes is many seeds. And each one of those seeds can become a plant of its own. So it's the law of, and this is only God can do this, right? It's something he created. He puts that every seed within itself to bring forth fruit, and the fruit has seed in it. And so that's something he's done. And so this concept of planting seed and multiplying and a dying that has to take place in there. So we realize, we talk about it quite often, and I didn't read it tonight, but the scripture where it talks about Jesus says, "He look, you know, lift up your eyes and look, for the fields are white and, you know, ready to harvest." and pray ye the Lord of the harvest. He's telling his disciples, you need to pray and ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers because there's plenty out here to harvest. Mm-hmm. Right? And he was the Lord of the harvest. Right? Mm-hmm. And so you say, well, Lord, if you want to harvest it, why, you're God, why don't you just speak the word and they're all just gathered in? But it doesn't work that way because he wants us to have part in this harvest. He wants us to have part of this kingdom. And so he said, tell his disciples, you pray that the Lord of harvest will send forth laborers because there's plenty of work to be done. And so he is the Lord of the harvest. And so, as I say so many times, you know, God is the one that's in control of how much you get when you plant. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I do the same thing every year, and sometimes I get a lot more than I do other years. Sometimes I get a bumper crop. Sometimes I don't get much, like last year. So he is in control of those things. And so these concepts we're talking about here applies to all sowing and reaping, whether it's natural, spiritual, mental, whatever, all sowing and reaping, this concept of multiplication is there. And so we realize that God planted into this earth, we just read the parable there, he planted in this earth his children. And so that would make a family of God and a people who would be spiritually, genetically, would be God. They'd be the family of God. And his children were here, and so they would be just like him. So if God, if their children is genetically part of God, then what could they do? If God would just let them go and say, you go and create a world. You go and be a redeemer. Mm-hmm. You go and multiply and have your own children. Right? That's the part I say people don't say a whole lot about, so you need to picture carefully. But you understand the concept is there. That if God is what he is, and somehow we are sons and daughters of God, then there's characteristics that's passed from him to us, and then what can we do? If all the enemy and the devil's moved out of the way, what can we create? Right? And so not just after this life, but even in this life, we're creators. Right, we are minute. We can create things physically. We can create things, build things, whatever. But you can create environments. You can create spiritual environments where things can happen. And so you realize that there's a potential there in us that we just haven't tapped into yet. It just hasn't happened yet. But and it's what belongs to the family of God. And so we realize God put his children in this earth to come forth and bring forth. He wanted fellowship. He wanted to have a family. But we realized there was an enemy, the devil. And as the parable said, the devil, he planted his seed, his offspring, his children, if you want to look at it that way. We called it the children of the wicked one. Well, who's the wicked one? Right? He is. And so he planted his in there. And so now the world, this whole world, is a big field that God has planted. The purpose to plant his children and bring forth children for fellowship. And then Satan, Lucifer, comes down, and now he has planted in the same field, and the scriptures tell it that it's a wheat and tares. We've talked about this before. It's been a while since we've talked about it. But so in this world, there are children of God, and then there's another group of people that the scriptures said are children of the wicked one. And so when you look up in the study about wheat and tares, you can tell that the tares look a whole lot like wheat. Can't really tell them a whole lot apart very easily. I guess someone that really knows what they're looking at can. And so, Satan was a sly fellow whenever he did what he did. So now you've got all these people out here, and some of them are sons and daughters of God, and some of them are not. But they're all religious. Right? They're all religious. And to be honest with you, some of the wicked side can be more religiously, appear more religious, and do more things than sometimes the children of God can. Mm-hmm. But the scriptures refer to them as tares. Now, Jesus is teaching, and he tells all kinds of parables, and he had a desire to tell this parable so that we might know that we are there in this earth are children of God, but there's also some that are not, no matter how religious they are. And they look alike. They go to church, they pay tithes, they do this, they do that, and you can't tell them apart, right? And so, of course, the angels, they could probably figure it out, but as the parable says, when they said, can we go and tear, you know, get rid of these wicked ones out of the earth, he said, no, because in the process of doing that, you might root up some of the good, some of the children of the kingdom. He said, just let them alone. Let them alone, let them grow. When the rain comes, it's going to water both. Because God pours out his blessings on the just and the unjust, on the good and the evil. And these criminals out here that's doing things out here, hurting people, they set out at food that God has provided for them to eat. They breathe the air that he's provided. So he just let both good and bad, just let them keep growing. And so he says, but at harvest time, that's when we'll do the separating. And so you realize when harvest time comes, there's a separating happening. We live in a world today where everybody wants to just come together and, oh, let's all come together and let's all just be in unity and all one thing. And it's totally contrary to Scripture, because Scripture said at harvest time, there's a separating that goes on. So this is all a concept and a pattern of something God has put in nature that's there. And I don't care how much they doubt God, disbelieve God, try to prove he doesn't exist, they're still in his planet, they're still in his universe, and they're still subject to him, and they still have to answer to him. And so these things, harvesting, planting and harvesting and sowing and reaping are true, and they still go on. And so at harvest time, you're going to separate. Now, you realize at harvest time, that's when everything really puts forth its fruit. That's when you're able to tell. Like Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. So when they're immature, like I plant several different pepper plants. Early on, I can't, if they get mixed up, I don't know what they are. I have to wait to see what happens to find out what they are. Because there's been a time or two where they got mixed up. Because I like to plant all the ones in one place, another place. And sometimes somebody looks at them or whatever, they get mixed up. And you can't tell them when you first, but when they start putting more fruit, now you can begin to see, you know, long banana peppers, they get real long real fast, and peppers that are round like bell peppers, they stay round, and you begin to realize, because of the fruit they're bearing, you're beginning to realize what they are. And so, you know, each one's got its own characteristics, you know, hot peppers or mild peppers, and so as it begins to put forth fruit, now you know what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. You know what you're going to get when harvest time comes. Mm-hmm. Right? And so you understand what you're going to get. And so at harvest time, everything comes to fruit. Everything comes out and begins to show its true colors. Mm-hmm. And so just look out there. Just look out in the world and look what's happened, especially in the last 2-3 years. That everything's manifesting itself. We've known all along that the government was corrupt. Now look at it, right? We've known all along that pharmacies, all the things that go on out there that we can talk about, we've known, but now it's all out in the open. See? Because it's harvest time. Amen. Everything has to show its true colors. So they come right out of the closet. We have that term, oh, they came out of the closet. You know, they were living a hidden life or whatever. Now it came out. Well, now they just come out of the closet by droves, right? They tear the door off the closet because it's harvest time. And at harvest time, when you look at it, you know exactly what's coming from it. And you know that if you take whatever it is, you take that and you allow that to be planted, it's going to produce even more. Right? So if you take all this wicked out here and you let them come to fruit and let them come to seed, and that continues on for another generation, you know what you're going to get. Right? Because the concept of sowing and reaping works whether it's good or bad. Whether it's good seed or bad seed, it works. And so we realize when we look out here, we see everything coming. This earth can't handle another generation of multiplying of what we're already seeing. It almost can't survive now. So you see, we know what's coming, right? So there's not many crop failures when you're talking about God's word and people living righteous or living wicked. You can't live like the devil and then ask God to give you crop failures so you don't have to reap what you sow, because it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Right? So, we realize at harvest time, these things come out. And there's something else that happens at harvest time, and that is, we hear Brother Brown talk about this a lot, you know, that the wheat has to lay in the presence of the sun and let the sun bake all the greenness out of it. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about it over the weekend when we went to the meetings we went to, and we'd listen to the sermons, and I was thinking, you know, that's what this is. You listen to these sermons, and they do something to you. Mm-hmm. And they affect you. And I was kept thinking, this is what it means to stand in the presence of the sun and let it bake and cook and get all the greenness out. Because, you know, you can't take the wheat and put it in the barn, in the garner, if it's green, mm-hmm. right? Like I've said many times, you put hay up to and it'll catch the barn on fire, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, Brother Bam talks about the wheat plant, how it come up through Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, and he's talking about Pentecostal was the shuck around the wheat. It looks kind of, early on, it looks like it's the real thing, but it's not. And they said, if you pull it back, you can see now the grain's down inside. So the grain, for a while, the grain is protected by Pentecost. And we think, oh, this is it, this is it. Didn't they think, oh, we've got a restoration again, this is it? No, it wasn't it. But for a while, it was just protecting a grain that was forming down there in that age that was going to be the real thing. But before that real thing can go into the garner, the heat of the sun has to get really hot, and it has to, the word has to come forth in such a way that the Pentecostal dries up and shrivels and pulls back away and no longer protects the real seed. And you think, oh, that's terrible, and it would burn up Pentecost, but that's the thing the seed needs, is that heat of the sun to bake and cook and get all the greenness out, and everything else just dries up. The rest of the plant, the Luther, Wesley, they all turn brown, and all the life leaves out of that whole plant and goes right into the seed. So that original seed that was planted comes right up through all that, and at harvest time it all goes right into the seed, and there's no life left in anything else in the plant. That's hard to say, but it's the truth. People outside outside of the message wouldn't like to hear that. But that's the truth. And God interprets his own word and he brings it to pass. Right? That's how he interprets it. So you can just stand back and wait and see. See if denominations are still alive shortly. We already know what's happened, but you understand what I'm saying. The time will come when it'll be very clear there's no life out there in anything else. It's clear to a lot of people anyway. But it's going to become more clear that the life has left all that out there and has entered into the grain. And so that shuck has to pull away and can no longer protect. So Pentecostal movement, Pentecostal tendencies, that's all got to get away from us. We've got to let the word burn all that stuff away from us. Burn the idea away from us that tongues is evidence. Burn the idea away from us that we don't have a good service and we don't run and shout. Burn all that Pentecostal tendency away from us and let the word bake us and get us ready. And that's what's happening. And so when we sit and we listen to the word, it's doing something to us. It's changing us. Whether you realize it or not, it's changing. And sometimes I say, man, that is a tough, that's a hard thing to swallow. But that's the kind of thing that has to happen for harvest time. And so it takes that hot sun to make it happen. It takes, and I want to say it this way: not just the preaching of the word, but the word that has spoken and has created this hard age that's out there, these things that are going on. It takes that word coming to pass to make all these things pull away and everything go to seed. You understand? It's harvest time. So Lutherans can't be anything but Lutherans. Wesleyans can only be Wesleyan. Pentecostals can only be Pentecostal. And when the word and the message and the power of the signs and the wonders come and begin to press down with the heat of the word, they just go right on into seed of what they are, and they double and triple down on what they are against the word. Right? So that harvest sun just brings them into the maturity of what they are. It does not change them. It just quickens them or makes them, you know, mature what they are. Because they're a different seed. They're not wheat seed. And the plant is a different part of the plant. So the sun makes that dry. You know, just go out there and look at it. Just go look. And when it comes time for harvesting that wheat, the rest of it's dead. And it has to be separated. There has to be a separation. And so, regardless of what the world says, they still live in God's world. And his concept of sowing and reaping still works. Mm-hmm. And they can go out there and they can live in different ways, and they reap every day hardship because of the life they live under a law that God has got them under, and they're denying God while it's happening. They're saying he doesn't exist while it's happening. But yet their very life is a product of their own actions of sowing and reaping. And so it's still alive today. No matter how much they deny God, it's still real. So in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 9, we'll read that real quick. Well, that clock's just going fast. We quote this a lot, but every once in a while I like to read it so people can know, hey, he's not just quoting something that's really there. Paul is telling us, you know, when he says, be not deceived, you know, there's a tendency for people to miss this. There's a tendency for people to overlook this concept. And so Paul is saying, listen, don't you be deceived like a lot of them are. Don't you fall into the trap of thinking that you can live a certain way and it's not going to cost you. Don't fall into the trap of thinking that if you live for God, there's not going to be a reward someday, because there is. Right? It works both ways. So Paul says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And remember, reap it in a bigger quantities. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, that's a capital S. He that soweth, let me say it this way, he that soweth to the Holy Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So Christian life is a life of sowing. And so a lot of times you feel weary. A lot of times you feel wore out and don't want to go another mile. But Paul is telling us here, listen, keep pressing on. God is not mocked. He will make sure that you get a reward for what you do. And he's going to do the same thing to the world. Brother Branham brings it down. He even talks about this nation. They've sown, now they're going to have to reap. This nation and the government's past administrations have killed hundreds of thousands of innocent people under wars, under the name of certain things that were all manufactured just so they could accomplish certain things. That's right. And they're going to pay for it. Because God said so. Prophet said so. That's not me saying that. He said it. And it's a concept. Even if Brother Branham had not said that, the Bible does. And so you understand. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. People mock and make fun of him. But you know what? He gets the last word. You take young people. I did it. We all did. Got all the strength, vibrant, and we go out and we do things that are actually abusing our body. We just don't know it. And later on, we pay for it. And it gets the last laugh. It gets the last word in. Right? Gets the last word in. See, God is not mocked. You go out and rob a bank. You could go out and sow the seed of robbing a bank. You're going to prison. That's what you're going to reap. You can't get past that. You understand that's the concept. Whether you live right, live wrong, that concept is there. And so, God is not mocked. He has the final word. Because every knee has to bow, every tongue confessed. I thought that was nice over the weekend when they talked about Goliath. That stone hit him like this, he should have fell backwards. But he didn't, he fell forward. Because every knee has to bow. Every tongue has to confess. So, a couple more things and then I'll finish. So, talking about sowing seeds, and I was watching a gardening channel here several years ago. And this man who's obviously knows what he's talking about because he's got this successful channel of telling people how to grow things and how to do things. And he said, you know, he was talking about weed control, or, you know, weeds in your garden. And, you know, I go out and I purposely plant tomatoes, potatoes, peppers, whatever. But you don't have to plant the weeds. They just automatically come there. Mm-hmm. And the reason why they come there is because seed of that was produced and was brought there. And so this guy was talking about this, and he was talking, and he said, listen, make sure that you don't let weeds go to seed. He said, because if you let those weeds go to seed, and they go to seed and they get into your ground, he said, you've got 7 years of dealing with that, of those seeds. So, you know, sowing and reaping can span great periods of time, but the whole concept there is that, you know, if you let something go to seed, now you've got to deal with them, not just this year of it coming up, but 7 years of it coming out, having to pull it, and so forth, because of the concept of seed. And so that struck me when he said that, you know. So if we have things in our life that's wrong, and we let that go to seed, it takes on a life of its own, if you want to understand what I'm saying, what I'm getting at. You know, Satan can come at you with something, you can sling it off. But if you let something into your life long enough, it can take on a power that's not so easy to get rid of. And it can go into a seed form, and you're going to have to deal with it for some time to come. And so, whether it's weeds in your garden or sin or unbelief or compromise, but this also works when you live godly. So, you know, we talk about habits. You get a bad habit. You let something go on and go on, and now it becomes a habit, and now it's hard to break. There's a typical example right there of what we're talking about. Letting something take root and actually becoming a life that you can't just get rid of real quick. You have to deal with it and fight with it and deal with it and fight with it, because you've let it go to seed in your life. And so, but then you can have good habits, right? You know? So, listening to someone talk today, you know, and listen to people complain about their spouses and so forth and different things going on. And, you know, and so, you know, I'll say to the men, you know, there are things that you can, good habits that you can come up with that you can let happen in your life, make happen in your life. It won't cost you any more time, any more effort, but it'll just be a good habit, and your wife will appreciate it. Things that she would like you to do, like, you know, pick your towel up off the bathroom floor. And I'm just, you know, I don't know, I'm just saying. You know, pick your clothes up, put them in the hamper or whatever. You know, don't leave a wash rag laying in the shower. Just whatever. And it's like, you know, get up from the table. Just go put your plate in the sink, run some water in it or whatever. Just good habits that makes things easier for her if you'll do it. And it becomes a good habit. In other words, it goes to seed. And now, for the rest of your life, you're going to benefit from that, because if you let it be established, and I'm using that as a title, as in seed form, Now, and guess what? Seed, it just happens that the way it works, seed scatters. It just, you know, it spreads. A guy at work gave me something called a jewel of Oprah. A little plant or two. I don't know how many he gave me. It wasn't much. I planted a couple of them in the garden, and it's been about 3 years now, I think. This will be the third year. Is that about right? Maybe. And I mean, every year, they're just planted right there, and I mean, they're taking over the place. And they're beautiful, and they're not a problem. But I'm just saying, because it spreads. Seed, life, spreads, propagates. So when you let something happen in your life that you can build up a good habit or do something, get a prayer life or whatever we're talking about, then it takes on a life of its own. And now you can be blessed for ages to come because of that good thing that you've allowed to form in your life. But if you let bad things happen, then you've got to deal with that too. Just that simple concept of sowing and reaping. And so when something goes to seed in your life, it spreads. Mm-hmm. You have good habits in your life, your children will pick it up. It'll influence them. And so on. So don't let anything go to seed in your life unless you want to reap it. Unless you want to have a long time effect of it, because you will. Because that's just the way it works. So I said a while ago, can you imagine what the next generation will be like? No wonder God is going to have to burn this world over. Brother Evans said, not just a natural fire, but a holy fire. Not just a natural fire to burn off every germ and every bad thing out here, but a holy fire to go into the spirit realm and cleanse this earth off with the spirits of evil things. Right? Because it's multiplied and multiplied and multiplied, and it's just filled the earth with all this nonsense, and he's gonna have to clean it off, make it a fit place for his people to live, which is exactly what he's gonna do. And so we're talking about seeds and so forth, and Brother Branham, he brings it up and shows us Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, and that we, the bride of Christ, are wheat seed. Right? That's why you see the wheat symbol on the sermons and so forth. We are wheat. We are wheat harvest. We are not barley harvest. We're not the harvest of the grapes and the figs. We are the wheat harvest. That's the bride of Christ. And that's why the prophet knew this. And so we are wheat. Now, what is wheat? Bread of life. The bread of life comes from wheat, right? So you can take seed, you can take the wheat seed, and you can either prepare it to make bread to sustain, or you can take those seeds and you can plant it again and bring forth even more, which you can eat and plant and eat and plant and eat and plant. So it's a perpetual thing here. And so the bride of Christ, we have as the wheat plant of God, there we have the characteristic that God can use us. He can plant us, and we can grow fruit in our lives and multiply, but he can also use our life. Our testimonies can become bread for the experience of other people. Other people can look at your testimony, and your life can give them strength, just like bread would. Now, so the scripture said, man shall not live by bread alone, not natural bread, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. There's your bread of life, is the word of God. And so I'll end by saying this, that, you know, a lot of people don't give diligence to staying and being, reading their Bible, meditating, reading their Bible every day, have a good, solid time in their life to read their Bible and to pray. They don't do that, and it costs them greatly. Because this is the bread of life. This word is what we live by. And if we don't ever get into it, if we don't ever eat that word, then how do we expect to live? Mm-hmm. Right? And so I know these are just real simple concepts, but instructions and things to remind us that we have a job and we have a responsibility here on earth. And there are great things that God can do in our life if we just get these concepts down and we begin to order our lives in a way where these things can come forth.
Amen.
And do what He has created them to do. And while the world just goes on and they have all kinds of troubles and so forth because of what they sow, and they're reaping all kinds of bad things, that's them. But we don't have to do that.
Amen.
We want to sow good things so we can reap the good things of God. Let's pray for a moment. Lord, as we come to the end of this service, we just want to take these words, Lord. We commit them into the hearts of your people, Lord, that they would be reminded of these things, just as simple little concepts there. But Lord, here we are in a time that we believe to be harvest time, and we look out and we see everything coming to fruit and beginning to manifest itself. And so, Lord, we should be able to see amongst the bride the same thing happening, that we are becoming more like Him. As your prophet said, that we would be in your very image, so much like you that we would be in your very image. And so that is seed coming forth in this hour is just like the one that was planted to begin with. Lord, we know that you planted the early church and they had to die through the dark ages. But here at the end, there will be a people that will be just with the same life in them as you had at that early church, early Pentecostal people. So, Lord, we just pray that these things will take hold in our life. We ask in Jesus' name.
We shall win.